This episode of Locked On NFL Draft is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving your community since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place for great, tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center, and a big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. I'm loving it. And speaking of loving it, I'm loving when we got Rob Rang and his articles. We're talking about Mac Jones today. All right, he has an article coming on Mac Jones. We're going to talk about just his impact on the Patriots. We're going to talk a little bit about some landing spots for quarterbacks. You know, how much does it matter where you're drafted to? And, of course, we'll touch on some rookie prospects playing in the Thursday night game between the Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons. So we're going to get to all that and more. Keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Locked On NFL Draft. I'm your host, former NFL and NFL defensive back, Eric Crocker, and I'm joined by Rob Rang today. And we want to thank you guys for making us your first listen of the day. Ryan Tracy will be joining us soon, all right, but he'll be here shortly. But Rob, you already know, man, we're jumping into it. It's Thursday episode. We're getting right into your article of the week for Fox Sports. So let us know a little bit about what you're working on.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Eric. I mean, that's the latest article on foxsports.com that I've written is going to be basically a breakdown of the two rookie quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence, of course, drafted number one overall by the Clemson Tigers by the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, he was selected to be the savior in Jacksonville. And yet it was Mac Jones, the fifth quarterback selected in the first round, that has wound up, at least so far, over the first 10 games for Mac Jones, first nine games for Trevor Lawrence. It's been Mac Jones who has been the best quarterback of the among the rookies so far in this season. And so that has been absolutely a shocker for a lot of people out there. Now, I know that you and I were a little bit higher on him the most. We kind of acknowledge that he has that great accuracy from the pocket, that he just had a different level of feel in the pocket, his ability to kind of step up. But I think that there still have been a real kind of surprise throughout the league and certainly in the media with how quickly that Mac Jones has been able to have a great deal of success. And at the same time, how much that Trevor Lawrence has struggled. You know, he has been solid at times. And I think the fact that the Jacksonville Jaguars were able to have that victory over here a couple of weeks ago against the Buffalo Bills, one of the best teams in the AFC and perhaps in all of the NFL, that definitely has put Trevor Lawrence's stock on the rise at this point. But Mac Jones has been solid the entire time. And to me, that has been one of the real surprises of the 2021 season so far.
Yeah, you know, looking at Mac Jones and everybody had their different opinions on him, I think the reason why he maybe faced a little bit more scrutiny was because people didn't believe that he was a top five prospect in the league. And a lot of times the top five picks are for more elite talented guys with just really physical, you know, upside and ability. And Mac Jones maybe didn't have that, but he did have these other elite traits, you know, an elite decision maker at the collegiate level, an elite processor. You know, what do you think went into, you know, just him really kind of sliding over the guys that have more talent? Was it just as simple as that? More talent, more upside, we're going to gamble on that, as opposed to what we think Mac Jones is and maybe his ceiling not being as high?
I think that's the biggest thing. I think that, you know, when you look at a guy like Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he's 6'6", 215 pounds, runs like the wind, has the arm strength that everybody is looking for, you know, has won at the high school level, won at the collegiate level. You know, just was absolutely undeniable talent. That's why he went number one overall. But whereas with Mac Jones, of course, it took an injury to Tua Tagovailoa for Mac Jones to get onto the field, you know, as a junior. And then as a senior, he obviously guided the Crimson Tide to a national championship. But also, he was thrown to a pair of first-round picks at the wide receiver position. He was handing the ball off to another first-round pick at the running back position. He was protected by a bunch of offensive linemen who wound up either going in the first round, in the case of left tackle Evan Neal this upcoming season, or some top talented, talents along the offensive line each of the past 2 years as well. So I think that there was a lot of questions about, did Mac Jones have those special physical traits to warrant a top 10 selection? And then when you have a guy who is basically considered to be kind of the flavor of the week a little bit at Alabama, a team that just, you know, continually produces players but doesn't necessarily have the greatest of history at the quarterback position, I think there was a lot of skeptics out there. But it's hard to be a skeptic when you really put it in the tape and watch what Mac Jones has been able to do for New England so far this season. I mean, he really has been spectacular. He's been especially good in the short to intermediate passes, so taking some of the easy passes, the screens, the deep outs, and things like that. But also the combo routes, the deep balls. Those are some of the things that he showed a special accuracy back at Alabama. But again, he was surrounded by such talent. But think about the wide receivers the New England Patriots have. You're being led by Jacoby Myers and Kendrick Bourne at this point. Those are two undrafted free agents. And one of the big knocks on Mac Jones was, would he be able to be successful in the NFL when he didn't have wide receivers who were as gifted as Alabama's? He is proving that he absolutely can.
Do you think that, you know, obviously kind of hurt him and made him slide a little bit, just kind of seeing the talent that was around him? And I mean, you talked about the receivers like that he played with in the last year, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith. But even more than that, he had Najee Harris. He was the first running back taken in the NFL draft. I believe he was taken before Travis Etienne, or they were taken in the same area. But you had Najee Harris. He was taken off the board first round in the previous year. Late in the year, I think he started like the last four games or so. He was able to throw to guys like Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, and they just had so many weapons, so much talent. And they had some guys drafted from the offensive line as well. You know, so when you see all the talent that he had, do you think that kind of like hurt him, especially since people already have like this thought of Alabama quarterbacks in their heads that they come out a certain way and they're not going to be able to necessarily elevate talent? And I think they kind of used his situation at Alabama against him.
I think it absolutely did, and which is unfortunate, because that was one of the reasons I was excited that Mac Jones took the opportunity to participate at the Senior Bowl, and then obviously wasn't playing with all of those elite players that you just mentioned, from Alabama, and yet still was very successful in Mobile. And to me, that is one of the big indicators. When you are able to carry over that success from the collegiate program that you played, and you take that into the Senior Bowl where you haven't met these players, and yet you still have success. You are still voted as the team captain, as Mac Jones was. And then that is a real indicator that you have a lot of the intangibles that are just so critical at the quarterback position. And that to me is one of the things that I think that we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about a little bit. Again, Trevor Lawrence was selected number one overall because he was expected to be the savior. And I have a good deal of faith in Urban Meyer as the head coach and, in the offensive coordinator, the quarterback coaches that are in Jacksonville. But at the same time, they are obviously working together for the first time. Whereas you look at New England and Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, they've been lockstep for a long, long time. And I think that it allowed Mac Jones to be able to come into a system in which basically anything that he did was a surprise. I mean, it was expected that Cam was going to wind up becoming the starter for the Patriots yet again. And instead, Mac Jones was able to kind of take over that spot, put Cam on the street and really take the reins of the New England Patriots in much the same way that the player that he has been compared to so many times, Tom Brady, that the same way that Tom Brady did when Drew Bledsoe went down with the injury so many years ago.
You know what, Rob, I want you to hold that thought, because when we come back, I want to get into just the landing spot and how that can potentially change the trajectory of a rookie quarterback and kind of where, how his career ends up being. But first, I want to tell you guys about the good friends over at Get Upside. All right. And for all our Locked On NFL Draft fans and everybody, if you drive you need to get this app. Download it right now. It's called Get Upsided. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upsided app right now in your Apple Store or Google Play Store and use promo code Touchdown. And you'll get 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back, right? So listen, you don't ever pay full price at a pump ever again. Get cash back by using Get Upside. And again, just use the download the app and use the promo code Touchdown. All right, now, most of our people, you know, if you're driving a whole lot, they're making up to $200-$300 back in cash. And they're doing it by using this app. You'll have to look on the app to find out what gas stations near you qualify this, but it's very simple. And to get the money back and be able to cash out, that's simple as well. You can use your bank account, PayPal, e-gift card, Amazon, whatever else you use. So right now, just go download your free Get Upside app and use the promo code Touchdown and get back as much as 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. Again, that's promo code Touchdown. All right, joining us now, we got our guy Ryan Tracy.
Which hey.
Actually was my fault because I thought I sent it and I did not send the actual link. And I went back and checked. I'm like, oh, I didn't get Robin. I didn't send it to Ryan. And we were waiting, like, where's Ryan at? I'm like, oh, I don't know. The whole time I didn't send the link. So we got him here. He's good. He's happy. He's in a good mood. And we're talking about just landing spots for rookie quarterbacks. All right. So, Ryan, I just kind of want to get your thought on how much can the landing spot for these rookie quarterbacks impact the trajectory of their career?
I think it can be probably the bottom line when it all comes down to it. Just ask Sam Darnold, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. When you see about the situation, it's not just the weapons like you guys were talking about. That's certainly part of it. For me, I always check out who's calling the plays and who's actually running the team. I actually kind of prefer a team where the head coach is the signal caller if I'm a rookie quarterback, because I know the buck's going to stop there. It's going to be me and him. We're going to figure this out, and we're going to do what we do. Too many cooks in the kitchen is something that always kind of concerns me with a rookie quarterback, but that's just my take. Like, I think history is on both sides of it. Just depends on the situation.
Yeah. Rob, what are your thoughts on that? Just because we've seen some guys, and you look at the top of this draft, right? You have a Trevor Lawrence that goes to Jacksonville and is going to a situation, like you said earlier, you know, whole new coaching staff. There's no culture that has been set there. And you bring in a guy like Trevor Lawrence, who's brought in to be the savior. And everybody knows the type of immense talent that he has. But he comes in and things are just a little chaotic. Also, you have Zach Wilson going to the Jets. And I was a little surprised with how much of a no-brainer that was for the Jets to just say, hey, regardless of anybody else in this class, you know, other guys that have been more successful longer or whatever the case is, maybe have, you know, bigger in stature or whatever. He's had his injuries and up and down time at BYU, but he had a terrific junior year. And they're like, look, that's the guy, no matter what. And then he comes in and it, you know, looks a little weird. You know, looks a little weird. Shoot, at one point I was watching the Patriots game and it was the third quarter. He had four completions and four interceptions. So he had as many completions to his team as he did to the other team, you know, and I think it's tough sometimes to kind of overcome those type of circumstances. And when you look at the New England Patriots, they are a team. You talked about Jeff McDaniels being there, Belichick. I mean, those are guys that have been there for so many years. How much of an impact do you think that have on a guy like Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence? And can that ultimately kind of hurt these guys?
Oh, I think that it absolutely can, you know, and I think that the player that Ryan just mentioned in Sam Darnold, I think, is a perfect example of that. And I would argue, again, just sticking with the New York Jets and with Zach Wilson, as you just mentioned, Eric, Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator previously in the San Francisco 49ers, was a defensive coach with the Seattle Seahawks. But again, the operative word here being defense. And he is the head coach, first-year head coach. And they draft Zach Wilson. And I just thought that was a really difficult landing spot for him, not just because of who's going to be calling the plays, but the relative lack of talent around him. Now, I give the Jets credit. I think the signing Corey Davis was a big move for them. I think that drafting Elijah Vera Tucker to be their left guard and putting him next to Mekhi Becton, one of the better left tackles in the game, in my opinion, or at least the young left tackles, I think it was a big move for them. But still, to make that jump from BYU to the you know, the main streets of New York, I think is a big time jump. And when you don't have a head coach who has very much offensive experience in that regard, then I think it just makes it more difficult. And it's one of the reasons why, even though he's only started one game, he's only played in four games so far, I still am really, really intrigued by what Trey Lance is going to be able to do with Kyle Shanahan. And I know that's right in your wheelhouse, Eric. And I know that, that Jimmy Garoppolo just helped the 49ers have a spectacular, you know, shocking, by some standards, victory over the Los Angeles Rams with how well the 49ers played. But I think that it just kind of goes to show that running the football really can help quarterbacks. And again, in this case, it was Jimmy Garoppolo. But I think that with Trey Lance, that he is in a very good position because he does have a head coach who understands offense and has helped quarterbacks be successful in the past. You look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, Urban Meyer. Again, I have a great deal of faith in Urban Meyer. I have a great deal of faith in Brian Schottenheimer, as well as Daryl Bevel. And they were critical to the success that Russell Wilson had in Seattle. But at the same time, this is the very first year that all of these guys have worked together. And so I think that it's just put that much more pressure on Trevor Lawrence to be able to have that type of success. And so to get back to your initial point, I do think that rookie quarterbacks that are pushed onto the field very early in their NFL careers, if they don't have a coach who knows what he's doing or is very astute in play calling, that can absolutely stunt the growth and perhaps drop the prospects of rookie quarterbacks.
You know, there's a flip side too, because the Broncos took all kinds of static for their decision in this last draft not to take Justin Fields. And when you think about it, whatever struggles he's had in Chicago and with the Nagy staff, certainly everybody can document that that's a Bears fan. If you take a look at the opposite, if you're working for a head coach that is a defensive coordinator that is now elevated to the head coaching position, you have a coordinator in Pat Shurmur that is not exactly known for fostering and teaching as much as utilizing scheme, right? I feel like for Justin Fields, the opposite side of the coin has actually come to fruition and been a better place for him should he have landed in Denver. I don't know that he'd be faring any better than he is right now.
I think it's a really good point. At the same time, I just think that in Patrick Surtain, the Denver Broncos made the right pick. I mean, this is a really good football player. I think that they basically were able to get Teddy Bridgewater for, you know, pennies on the dollar, and that's one of the reasons why they're still being very competitive in the AFC West. So I think that's a good point. I just think that the Denver Broncos wound up making a really savvy selection for themselves, recognizing their strengths, recognizing this is a team that's built on defense. You still have a young quarterback in the fold in Drew Lock. Maybe he is going to mature enough behind Teddy Bridgewater to be able to kind of take the reins there. And I'm a big, big fan of Justin Fields. But I also think that the fact that Chicago just isn't expecting much, they basically put their chips on the table and said, all right, you know, can you, Justin Fields, be able to take us to the promised land? And that's one of the reasons why there are some people in Chicago right now who are pretty excited about the upside of their franchise, despite the fact that, you know, they don't have a lot of wins to show for it just yet.
Yeah, a lot going on right there with the quarterback situation. And we're not done talking about quarterbacks yet, because we're going to get into the Thursday night football game where you have the Atlanta Falcons against Mac Jones and the New England Patriots. But first, I want to tell you guys about our friends over at Bet Online. And right now, Bet Online remains your number one spot for all your basketball and football action this season. Head over now to their updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. Now, from basketball, football, baseball, when it's in season, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of this amazing offer that's available throughout the 2021 season. So, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. That's BetOnline, where the games start. And this is a game I don't know if I would bet on, because I'm not sure which way to go with this. You got the Atlanta Falcons against the New England Patriots, and the Patriots are hot right now. They're on this hot streak. You got Mac Jones. He's playing well. The defense, I think, you know, Mac Jones, because he's a rookie and he's getting a lot of the love there and he's making these throws, he's been efficient, awesome. But that defense is taking the ball away at a high rate. I feel like every time I watch the Patriots, they're like, there's a defensive back running into the end zone or just taking the ball away. J.C. Jackson, he's having another terrific season. But Mac Jones, how do you, what are you guys looking forward to seeing from him against the Atlanta Falcons on Thursday Night Football?
Well, I'm just I just want to see more of the same. I want to see him take the next evolution and be able to, I think, exploit what he should see as a couple more opportunities, in my opinion, and really get them on that point where you can feel like they don't have to rely on the turnover game, where that's not the thing that separates from them. I'd like to see them settle down and just kind of grind one out. I like the run game still. I think it's his friend, so why not use it, right?
Right. Now, there is a big there's a big tight end who's a rookie on the other side. So, Rob, I would like to know, like, what are you, some of your thoughts on what you've seen so far from Kyle Pitts?
Oh, my goodness. He's been spectacular. I mean, I think that you know, he hasn't had the touchdowns that I think a lot of people expected. I mean, he only has one touchdown so far this season, but he's got over 600 receiving yards. That puts him on pace to break the all-time NFL rookie record for the most receiving yards by a rookie tight end. And then going back to Mac Jones, speaking of all-time NFL records, I mean, he's completing 69% of his passes. Crazy. And so to kind of go back to Ryan's point about that, you want to see him kind of take the easy stuff and lean on the running game. That's personally what I expect him to do against the Atlanta Falcons. Now, the Falcons, of course, are coming off of a pretty ugly loss. And we know the way that things go in the NFL. If you come off an ugly loss, you're at home. You know, on a short week, and they're very likely to be able to kind of bounce back and have a little bit better performance. The New England Patriots is, as you mentioned before, Eric, I mean, they're hot. They won four games in a row now. And so it feels like there's an opportunity here for Atlanta to kind of surprise people, because that's what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. But still, the New England Patriots are playing such good football. I think that Mac Jones is making terrific decisions. He threw three touchdowns this past week against the Cleveland Browns defense, that I think is much, much better than the Atlanta Falcons are. So I expect more of the same. I think that New England's going to win in a blowout. But, you know, kind of going back to Kyle Pitts, just to, you know, he was described as a unicorn before. And I think that he absolutely is that. I mean, there's just not guys who are 6'5", 245 pounds that run the way that he does, that catch the ball the way that he does. New England is so loaded on defense that I think that they are basically going to try to slow down Kyle Pitts and make somebody else from Atlanta beat them. And that's why I think that the Patriots are going to win this one in a blowout.
It's got to be difficult. I had hoped for more from the rookie group along the offensive line to help Matt Ryan deliver this ball to Pitts and everyone else. Clearly, when you don't have your full stable of wide receivers, that puts more pressure on the rookie. I think the surprise in Cordarrelle Patterson this season has been, at least surprised me, he's been able to contribute as much as he has. But I don't know that I'm overly disconcerted about Mayfield. He hasn't panned out. He hasn't played well yet. I do think he's playing out of position, mostly at tackle, and I think he needs to be on the inside. That was my preference coming out as well. The guy that I'm waiting to see, and nothing against Matt Hennessy, I think Drew Dahlman has got the physical skills and the smarts to be able to run this offense from the center position. I hope that he gets a crack here eventually.
Yeah, I do as well. And to me, he is one of the more, you know, savvy. You know, his dad, of course, playing in the NFL and being a former offensive line coach as well. It's that type of savvy is one of the reasons why I do think that eventually that he will be the starter. But if we're going to be talking about some of the, you know, so-called later round picks from these two teams, then to me, the guy that we got to kind of talk about it would be Christian Barmore and Ramondre Stevenson back on the New England side. You know, Ramondre Stevenson, again, like Mac Jones a week ago against Cleveland, Ramondre Stevenson had his opportunity. I mean, he had 20 rushes for 100 yards. That's a pretty cool 5.0 average. Had a couple of touchdowns. You know, if he continues to get his opportunity, again, it's Atlanta Falcons defense, I think, is one that you can run right up the gut and be able to have some success. So it's going to be interesting to see if he gets that opportunity. And then Christian Barmore, everybody is talking about Mac Jones, but it's the quote-unquote other Alabama guy that I think also has really solidified New England's defense on the inside. Just a big, strong man. He hasn't started that many games for the Patriots, but he's played in every single one of them. Is tied for the Patriots lead with five quarterback hits among the defensive linemen. Matt Judon has a way above everybody else in the Patriots. But still, for a defensive tackle after a year in which we didn't see a single defensive tackle go in the first round, To see Barmore coming as a second round pick, it's just kind of the Patriot way. They just get a different level of value than most of their clubs in all of the NFL.
Yeah, well, Richie Grant, you know, that's another guy, safety out of UCF. That I've been, you know, you guys, I love watching my secondary guys, but that's a guy who I'm looking forward to finally getting the chance to see, right? I mean, you don't see too much Atlanta Falcons on TV, but that was somebody who a lot of people are really high on coming out of UCF. And I'm looking forward to seeing what type of impact he made. He was an older guy. Sometimes those older guys, they get a knock a little bit when they're coming out. He's 24 years old already. So, you know, he's had some action with the Atlanta Falcons. I'm interested to see, you know, what type of impact he has on this game, and if he maybe be able to pick off a guy like Mac Jones, who's been extremely efficient with the ball lately.
Yeah, that's one of the things about Richie Grant. I mean, the kid's a playmaker. You know, I say kid laughingly because I'm twice his age, basically, you know. But, you know, I just see him as a guy that can make plays. And, again, if we want to just kind of shower praise on Mac Jones, New England Patriots, one of the ways that Mac Jones has had a lot of success, it has not necessarily just been those wide receivers that we mentioned before in Bourne and Myers. Hunter Henry has been a huge, huge addition for New England. He also had two touchdowns this past week. And so Richie Grant playing in the box might be able to slow down that tight end game for the New England Patriots. And let's see if Mac Jones might be able to throw the ball over the top and try to beat the Atlanta cornerbacks rather than focusing on their safeties.
Yeah, man, big time game, big time matchup. A lot of interesting rookie prospects in that game. All right, well, we're going to end on that note, and we're going to, you know, talk about some of the prospects coming up in the weekend games with the college football guys. All right. So keep it locked right here. And we want to thank you guys for making us your first listen of the day. From Ryan Tracy, from Rob Rain, and Eric Crocker. We'll see you guys next time.